In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the scripture reading, 1 Thessalonians 2. I would just like to read again for you part of verse 4. We speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Tomorrow is a special day at Concordia Seminary, call day. A number of you will be receiving your first calls into the parish ministry and others' vicarage assignments. But it's indeed a special day for all of us, because on those three times a year or so, it reminds us of our purpose for being here at the seminary, that the seminary is preparing pastors for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There's a lot of concern at that time for the what and the where, and understandably so, but it's probably more important to consider the why. Why are we called to be pastors? And today's prescribed reading does an excellent job of answering that question. Here we have the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian Christians about the place of his role of the apostolic ministry in their lives and in their church. And so we'd like to use as our theme, pastors are men approved by God. First, to speak the gospel, and secondly, to live the gospel. Men approved by God to speak the gospel. That was heart and core of everything that St. Paul was about. From the time of his rescue by grace in the dust of the Damascus Road, to his call by God to go into the whole world with the gospel. He writes about it at the beginning of this chapter. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. He wasn't kidding. He had been in jail in Philippi after being arrested and mistreated. Now he makes his way to Thessalonica, and for three Sabbaths strongly contends on the basis of the Scripture that Jesus is the Messiah. He's speaking that gospel despite opposition, but he's not well received by many, and so he retreats to Jason's house, probably settles down a bit and does some work there, and continues to preach to Jews and Gentiles alike. And finally comes that mob stirred up by the Jewish leaders, and by night he has to leave and go on down to Berea. The point being, Paul, who is determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, is approved by God to speak the gospel. And we say, yay and amen. That's why we're here. We've been reminded again of Martin Luther's strong stand for the gospel. That's what we're learning here at the seminary, in all of our classes and all of our departments. And as that first call beckons, we want to get out there and speak the gospel. But there's a temptation mentioned in our text that stands in the way of speaking the gospel. It's wrapped around the word men-pleasers. Paul puts it this way: we are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. Then he says, we are not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. Certainly Paul was tempted, but also the itinerant evangelists or preachers who came by were tempted to be men-pleasers. In one sense, that meant possibly being willing to bend your message a little bit when there's strong opposition, to preserve yourself so that you can keep on preaching some more, whether in the synagogue or elsewhere. And then secondly, men-pleaser seems to refer to trying to find praise from the ones you're serving and finding yourself gradually saying more and more what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Oh, how easily we can be men-pleasers. I don't know whether that concept is wrapped up in the statement, cooperate to graduate or not. But I'm thinking more in this message in terms of as we serve in parishes. We want to simply tell them that Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is their Savior. And we may be tempted to bend that message if there is opposition, perhaps in the direction of certain kinds of human customs and traditions. And there will be the ever-present threat, as people put their arms around us and say they love us so much, and we are such a wonderful creature, that we might want to alter our message a bit to say what they want to hear. I believe confession is in order. Confession of our temptation and giving into it to be men-pleasers. But that drives us back to our theme, approved by God to speak the gospel. You see, Paul could only do it because he was approved by God. God, you see, approved his son Jesus Christ to come and speak the gospel. And he did, in synagogues and in fields and on hills and on the dusty roads. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he was referring to himself as the Messiah. Jesus spoke despite mounting opposition. And although they wanted to make him a king, and they loved him so much for what he provided, he stayed faithful. And his speaking brought him a cross, where he died for the sins of the world. God approved his sacrifice and therefore declared the whole world righteous. God approved Paul in his baptism, and God approves us as his children. Men-pleaser sins washed away in his blood. He approves us as he calls us to minister and prepares us so that we may faithfully, day in and day out, speak the gospel. But there's a second part. Pastors are men approved by God to speak the gospel, but also to live the gospel. And that seems to be what the remainder of the text is about. Paul describes so tenderly how he lived out his faith and his message. He writes words like, "We were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." He says, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Loads of words about a life of the gospel. A life of caring, understanding, yes, exhorting and urging, but with a gentleness and a love. A life as an example that is blameless. All of these things were part and parcel of Paul's call. We want to live the gospel too, don't we? Right here and now among fellow students, in classrooms, and certainly as pastors. We know that sanctification accompanies justification in the life of the Christian. But there is also a temptation for living the gospel, as there was a temptation for speaking the gospel. And it's wrapped up in the word burden. Paul does not want to be a burden for the people, but a blessing. He says, "We could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you." And then a little later, he says, "We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you." Certainly the itinerant evangelists and preachers were often a burden to the people. They came in and expected to be fed and clothed and housed and taken care of generously. Paul decided to work on his own and freely dispense the gospel. And secondly, instead of being gentle, these itinerants were often burdensome in that they were judgmental and overbearing and hitting the people over the head with the law and trying to shake them up, thus compromising the very gospel itself. It seems to me that as we go out speaking the gospel, we need watch that we not become a burden to the people in the way we live. Oh, we have a right to receive compensation for our work so that we might devote ourselves completely to the ministry of word and sacraments. But oftentimes we may want to complain and grumble about how inadequate that salary is, always wanting more, or how inconvenient and inadequate the housing arrangements provided for us, or wondering why we aren't getting more perks that go with our office, especially since we don't get much money, or about wanting more time for ourselves instead of always being burdened with the people's needs. And in these ways, we do disservice to that gospel which we speak, and we don't live the gospel. And on the other hand, we may be guilty of burdening the people with our vision, not taking them where they are, but beating them over the head and trying to shape them up. And in that way, too, we fail to live the gospel. Confession time again, that not only are we men pleasers, but sometimes we burden the people unfairly. Enter the theme again. Pastors are men approved by God. You see, God approved his son Jesus to live the gospel. And oh, he did. Though he was faithful in the proclamation, he was loving and caring and understanding in the application. His life was blameless. He was willing to wash feet, and most of all, to sacrifice his life on Calvary. God approved the death of Jesus Christ for the world. The world is declared righteous. Paul was approved by God in the blood of Christ through his baptism, and so are we. Being a burden as a sin forgiven, so that we might unfettered, in a growing way, live the gospel which we speak. You know, the amazing thing is that that faithful apostolic ministry of Paul brought identical results in the people whom he served. In other words, they learned to speak the gospel and to live the gospel so that everyone knew about it. Listen to these words from 1 Thessalonians 1, which spell out that sequence. Brothers loved by God, we know that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Yes, tomorrow's a special day, a call day. Many of you will be receiving your first calls into parish ministry or vicarage assignments. All of us share in that special day because we are pointed again to the purpose for being pastors. We are men of God, approved by God, to speak the gospel and to live the gospel.